Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 38 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
We need to give the IRS the resources it needs to collect the taxes that are owed.
Congressman John Yarmuth is not amused by President Trump's proposed 2018 budget.
Fleming County is asking the U.S. Department of Homeland Security for more money.
And Rand Paul says he's not working for Russian President Vladimir Putin.
In sports, the Louisville Cardinals are currently playing Jacksonville State in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Rain likely tonight, lows of around 40 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A 53-year-old Chesapeake, Ohio man today pleaded guilty to the attempted murder of his former girlfriend. The story is from MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler.
WSAZ is reporting that Marvin Sexton appeared in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court. He was arrested last November after police responded to a report of a woman being assaulted. They say 39-year-old Melissa Howard, also of Chesapeake, was severely injured when she was beaten with a shovel. Howard spent several days in critical condition in a Huntington hospital. No sentencing date for Sexton has yet been scheduled. Reporting for Moore State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
58-year-old Larry White is asking the Kentucky Supreme Court to overturn his conviction and death sentence in a Louisville murder case. The justices heard arguments on White's appeal Thursday. Assistant Public Advocate Susan Ballier contends that White's claim that trial judge James Shake should have recused himself because he was White's defense attorney for earlier cases is a strong legal argument, even if it wasn't raised right away.
This is a structural matter, a fair judge. Who knows why a man of this limited ability waited?
The appeal contends White has borderline impairment because of his IQ, although the Attorney General's office says he successfully helped defense attorneys.
Five people were arraigned in Martin County Circuit Court yesterday on child sex abuse charges. EKBTV reports 28-year-old Heather Klein and 36-year-old Paul Mullins, both of Paintsville, are charged with four counts of complicity to commit first-degree sodomy and 16 counts of complicity to commit first-degree criminal abuse of a child under the age of 12. 77-year-old Edwin Moore of Lovely is charged with two counts of complicity to commit first-degree rape of a child under 12. 32-year-old Jessica Harless McCoy of Tomahawk and 39-year-old Marlena Evans of Lovely are also charged with three counts of complicity to commit first-degree sodomy and four counts of first-degree sexual abuse of a child under 12. There will be a pretrial hearing for all defendants on April 20th.
Heartless, cruel, and short-sighted. That's what Congressman John Yarmuth is saying about President Trump's proposed 2018 budget. The Louisville lawmaker is the ranking Democrat on the House Budget Committee. He was referring to reductions in programs that serve Americans with low to moderate incomes. Yarmuth spoke today at a press conference in Washington.
And then there's one that's just plain stupid, and that is, why in the world, when we have, by some estimates, $400 billion of owed but uncollected tax revenue sitting out there, would you cut money from IRS, which has already been decimated? We need to give the IRS the resources it needs to collect the taxes that are owed.
Yarmuth says the Trump plan represents a massive transfer of money from the poorest Americans to the wealthiest. The president's budget eliminates funding for the Appalachian Regional Commission and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Republican Congressman Hal Rogers says many of the reductions and eliminations proposed in President Trump's budget are draconian, careless, and counterproductive. The Pulaski County lawmaker says cuts to the Appalachian Regional Commission would impair the ARC's bipartisan work to reduce poverty rates and extend basic necessities to communities across the Appalachian Territory. Rogers says he'll continue to advocate for sufficient funding for ARC and similar programs like the Economic Development Administration. He adds he's optimistic in the coming weeks that Congress can work with the administration to responsibly fund the federal government, including those agencies which serve as vital economic lifelines in rural parts of the country.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says, even though he doesn't drink, he supports the idea of allowing the limited sale of alcoholic beverages at downtown street festivals and other outdoor events. Downtown Moorhead Incorporated Executive Director Tony Pence offered the idea to City Council earlier this week as a way to attract more patrons to those events. Trent says it's worked in other nearby cities.
These are type of things where you have them. Berea has them. Maysville has them. Lexington, of course, other places around will have certain, you find them at music festivals and those type of things. And a lot of it is, it's craft beer type settings, and it's not a thing where it's going to be a free-for-all like a lot of people think.
Trent says any alcoholic beverages approved for sale will be done so in a very controlled environment, and there will be plenty of security. At this point, the Moorhead City Council is still discussing Pence's proposal and has yet to vote on it.
The Maysville Ledger-Independent is reporting that there will be an alcohol sales vote for the city of Flemingsburg on May 16th. Fleming County Clerk, Jared Fritz, says a petition calling for this special election was circulated by the county's industrial authority. If the issue is approved, liquor sales would be permitted in restaurants that seat at least 50 customers and receive 70% of their revenue from food sales. Steve Donovan is with the industrial authority. He says it is one way Flemingsburg may be able to attract new businesses.
Fleming County is asking the U.S. Department of Homeland Security for more money. After recently getting $32,000 from the agency to provide gear for 16 of the county's volunteer firefighters, Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says Fleming has applied for a $40,000 grant that will be used to buy warning sirens for two of its smaller communities.
Tilton and Muses, which are the only two now that are not equipped with sirens. So it's a twofold purpose there. It's to alert them for a fire call in their area, and also for inclement weather or tornado warnings and things like that. So it's got a twofold purpose there.
Foxworthy says Tilton and Muses Mill are the only communities in Fleming County that lack warning sirens.
Even though the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College will be moving into its new $28 million building at the MMRC Industrial Park in December, one official says the school will still need additional space. Russ Ward is MCTC Rowan's director.
The new facility will be 91,000 square feet, and on top of that, we'll be also adding on to the campus a little further on the property, another 35,000 square feet to house our high bay programs, things like diesel technology and welding technology. Those will not be in this facility. They will be in a second building.
That second building will give the Rowan campus another 35,000 square feet of operating space. Ward says MCTC officials are still completing the financial aspects of the second building, which they hope will be operational by the summer of 2018.
A study from the Center for Automotive Research has found Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky is making a major economic impact on the Commonwealth. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the 2015 report found that $6.7 billion has been invested into the automaker over 30 years, supporting nearly 30,000 jobs statewide. TMMK spent $1.8 billion on employee payroll, which totaled $1.4 billion after taxes to be reinvested in the Kentucky economy. The Georgetown plant supports around 8,000 employees.
Kentucky's junior senator Rand Paul is responding to claims made Thursday by Arizona Republican John McCain that Paul is now working for Russian President Vladimir Putin. Paul offered his rebuttal on MSNBC's Morning Joe program. Senator McCain leveled his attack on Paul after the Kentucky lawmaker blocked a treaty favoring Montenegro's inclusion in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Paul thinks McCain's rhetoric was, quote, over the top.
Well, you know, I think he makes a really, really strong case, you know, for term limits. I think maybe he's past his prime. I think maybe he's gotten a little bit unhinged. I do think that when we talk about NATO, there can be a rational discussion about the pros and cons of expanding it. We currently have combat troops in about six nations. We have troops actively just stationed in probably a couple dozen others.
Paul believes the U.S. military is overextended around the world and it's costing too much money.
Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell is responding to critics of the Republican replacement for the Affordable Care Act. Speaking at a press conference in Washington, McConnell praised the new plan in the face of a report from the Congressional Budget Office projecting a loss in coverage for over 24 million people.
It gives us a pathway to lower premiums. We think they'll be a lot lower than that when we get the broad discretion of the Secretary of Health and Human Services involved in this. And as we learned during the Obama years, secretary has a lot of latitude. Lower taxes, lower deficits, and the most significant entitlement reform in history.
McConnell says the drop in coverage can be attributed to people who didn't want to participate in government programs in the first place. He adds those who lose coverage may be able to find another plan at an affordable cost.
Allowing greater flexibility for states in the administration of the Medicaid program would better control costs. That's according to Kentucky Congressman Brett Guthrie. The Warren County Republican participated in a forum on the issue in Washington Thursday, sponsored by the Congressional Quarterly Daily Monitor. Guthrie says Governor Matt Bevin is already moving in that direction. He says the governor has applied for federal waivers that would allow Kentucky to treat differently those persons covered by the expanded Medicaid program than it does the recipients of the traditional Medicaid services.
They were looking at a work requirement, and they were saying you could have to work 20 hours a week, and it could be work, it could be volunteering, it could be, and what I was pushing would say technical training, school training, mm-hmm. doing something out of the house every day to go and improve yourself so that you can and have a fuller life.
Guthrie has been one of the House Republicans pushing for passage of the GOP's health care reform bill. The plan that would repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act is now pending in the Rules Committee.
Spring in Kentucky is one of the worst times of the year for asthma attacks. Asthma affects 1 in 10 children in the state and annually results in thousands of hospitalizations. Janita Lyons of Norton Children's Hospital in Louisville says regular management of the disease can help prevent attacks.
Parents really need to focus on ensuring that your child is taking asthma medication as prescribed. Two main types are the controller and the rescue medication. So it's really important that both parents, child, and really the whole family is educated on what those are, how to take them correctly.
Lyons says a child should take their asthma medication regularly, even if they are feeling okay. Medical professionals also advise avoiding things that trigger attacks like pet dander, mold, and tobacco smoke.
Kentucky is one of many states being plagued by eye poisonings. The Kentucky Poison Control Center received over 2,000 calls last year from people who had chemicals get into their eyes. Those substances generally include household chemicals, cleaners, pesticides, fertilizers, and cosmetics. The liquid laundry pods have become the main problem for children. Maria Chapman is the poison prevention coordinator for KPCC.
People don't always think of poison control as who you call when something gets in your eye. You know, they think of us when a child swallows something, but they don't always think poison control when they get something in their eye. But we can absolutely help them. Parents and caregivers tend to kind of jump in the car and head for the emergency room, and they might need to be there eventually, but the most important thing is to get the eyes flushed. That's the most important thing to do to prevent a more serious injury. So we don't want them getting in the car and going to the hospital before they've done that.
In case of an eye poisoning, call the Kentucky Poison Control Center at 1-800-222-1222. All calls will remain confidential.
A boulder that was at the center of a three-year dispute between Kentucky and Ohio officials may be getting a new home where the public can view it. The Ashland Daily Independent reports that officials will seek grant money to build a gazebo in South Shore where the 8-ton boulder known as Indian Head Rock can be placed. The rock was a well-known landmark on the Kentucky side of the Ohio River before it was removed in 2007 by a group who took it to Portsmouth, Ohio, saying it needed to be protected. Kentucky sued to get it back. And the rock was returned to Kentucky in 2010 and was put in storage. Greenham County Judge Executive Bobby Carpenter says officials want to exhibit the rock in a safe place.
Parking issues were front and center at this week's Augusta City Council meeting. MSBR's Holly McClurkin reports.
The Maysville Ledger Independent reports the Augusta City Council discussed the lack of police citations for violators who have been parking on sidewalks, blocking fire lanes, using handicap accesses, and parking opposite the direction of traffic. When asked why there are no warnings or citations for those violations in a recent report, Police Chief Kelly Baxter says they have tried warning notices, but people have stopped paying attention to them. City Council members say the offenders are primarily local residents. However, according to Baxter, if his officers wrote tickets for every violation, it would prove very costly for those individuals. No decisions were made regarding the problem. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Holly McClurkin.
An Ironton City Councilman for the past 7 years has died. According to the Ironton Tribune, the passing of Dave Fraser was not announced until last night's council meeting. Funeral arrangements for the elected official are still pending. Vice Mayor Craig Harvey says someone will be appointed to fill Fraser's seat until a later date. The city's charter calls for vacancies on council to be filled within 30 days.
Safe Harbor will be honoring some of their biggest supporters next week. MSBR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The Cornerstone Awards and 1,000 Women and Men Luncheon will be honoring District Judge Gerald Reams, District Judge Scott Reese, the Ashland Fire Department, Ashland Police Department, River City's Harvest, United Way of Northeast Kentucky, and the founders of Sarah's Place, Sally Neal and Marisha Smith. The event will be hosted by Allison Christie and takes place next Thursday. Tickets for the event are $35 per person, and the sponsorship levels are gold, $1,000, silver, $750, and bronze, $500. For more information, you can call Safe Harbor at 606-329-9304. For more Head State Public Radio news, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, rain likely, lows around 40. The chance of rain is at 80%. For Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, highs around 48. Sunday, cloudy, lows around 32 degrees. On Monday, mostly cloudy, highs near 62 degrees. For Tuesday, showers, highs around 54, and the chance of rain on Tuesday is at 60%. For Wednesday, partly cloudy, lows around 29 degrees. It is currently 35 degrees in Ashland, 38 degrees in Flemingsburg and Inez, 45 degrees in Lexington, 44 degrees in Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 38 degrees.
4:46 the time, you're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY 90.3 FM. It's good to have you with us. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock. On our feature segment, Ohio Governor John Kasich has been gaining national attention for criticizing the health care proposal coming from congressional Republicans, especially when it comes to cutting Medicaid coverage. As Ohio Public Radio's Andy Chow reports, Kasich says there's not much he and other state leaders could do if those cuts happen.
The health care overhaul, proposed by Republican U.S. House leaders and backed by President Donald Trump, would eventually terminate Medicaid expansion and change the way tax credits are doled out. Governor John Kasich fears this means 700,000 Ohioans who currently have health insurance under expanded Medicaid would be left stranded. To Kasich, the best path forward would be for congressional Republicans and Democrats to come together with a compromise.
With one party trying to jam these things through, you're going to end up with a continued political fight and will not allow us to then move to the next stage, which is to deal with the rising health care costs we see in our country.
Kasich has been touting the way Ohio was able to take federal funding to expand coverage under Medicaid while still reining in the costs. Medicaid is by far the biggest chunk of the state budget, which is currently working its way through the legislature. Kasich says if Congress continues with its plan, the state of Ohio wouldn't be able to make up the difference.
You know, we don't have the money to make up, for example, on the Medicaid side, potentially, you know, $1 billion, $1.5 billion. We can't do that. It's really, really expensive. So there'll be a lot of people that will go without coverage, and it won't be good.
A report from the Center for Community Solutions says if the current plan passes, Ohio could lose up to $26 billion in federal funding for Medicaid over the span of 6 years, starting in 2019, including as much as $2 billion annually for Medicaid expansion alone. Kasich points out that the plan would phase out Medicaid expansion beginning in 2020. Other Republicans, such as Congressman Jim Jordan of Western Ohio, are still pursuing an outright repeal of Obamacare, and with that, the expansion. Andy Chow at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
4:49 the time, you're tuned in to Mountain Edition. Nathan Gutierrez has been keeping an eye on the sports world. He's coming up right now.
The Cards are battling the Gamecocks. Good afternoon, reporting from Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, looking at some scores in second-round play of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament, 5 of the top 10 teams are scheduled for action today and this evening. Currently, 10th-ranked Louisville in the second half leads Jacksonville State 61-49 in the Midwest region. 9th-rated Oregon beat Iona 93-77 earlier. Number 6 North Carolina right now leads Texas Southern in the first half 39-22. And in some other scores, Arkansas defeated Seton Hall 77-71.
71 rather. Baylor beats New Mexico State 91-73. Michigan wins against Oklahoma State 92-91. Some notable matchups tonight include number 3 ranked Kansas faces UNC Davis at 6:50, number 7 ranked Duke plays Troy at 7:20, and number 8 rated UCLA will face Kent State at 9:57. Kentucky's opening appearance in this year's NCAA tournament is set for later tonight in Indianapolis. The 5th-ranked Wildcats will face Northern Kentucky at about 9:40 as part of the second-round play in the South region. Coach John Calipari says the Wildcats getting every opponent's best shot all season long. He warns they can't afford to take 24-10 Norse lightly.
You got to come in this. Let's worry about us. Let's play with energy. Knowing this team is good enough, Northern, to beat us. Let's be at our best and see what happens.
Led by former Morehead State and Marshall player John Brannan, NKU is making its first ever NCAA tournament appearance. And taking over as the permanent men's basketball coach at Morehead State, Preston Spradlin says he's excited and rearing to go. MSU removed the interim tag from Spradlin's title last night, and he says his job one is to replenish the Eagles roster, which is losing 5 seniors, including 4 starters. Spradlin has been recruiting new players for the program for the past few months, and he believes things are in pretty good shape at that area.
It's kind of a moment we've been waiting for to get the job and get it on a permanent basis. And I think we've got some kids out there who are very excited about the momentum of our program and the direction it's going to go. And they've got excitement for me to have the job as well. And so, That's kind of where it begins. We've got to begin to get those pieces in place and build this team.
Spradlin was named the Eagles' interim coach on December 15th after the resignation of Sean Woods. The 30-year-old Pikeville native and former Alice Lloyd College player led MSU to a 12-9 record, including a 10-6 finish in the OVC. Saying his team had a good year, Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd is already looking ahead to next season. The Eagles saw their 2016-17 campaign end last night following a first-round 67-58 loss in the WNIT at Middle Tennessee. The MSU women ended with a 21-10 record. Todd says his team is now setting its sights on winning next year's OVC tournament and earning a bid to the NCAA tourney.
Absolutely. I think you always set your goals as high as you can, and we respect our league a lot. Definitely, I think with a full year and a lot of improvements, we can be a team that will be shooting for the a big dance a year from now.
The Morehead women's appearance in the WNIT was a first for the program. With Elliott County's 65-57 loss to Collins in round one last night of the boys' Sweet 16 basketball tournament, the Lions season comes to an end with an overall record of 26-4. In Elite Eight action down in Rupp Arena, Bowling Green will advance to the semifinals after a 68-53 win over Scott County. And Scott ran over Perry Central 74-52. The two winners will meet tomorrow at 6:30. In tonight's matchups, Collins will face Cooper before Ballard battles Fern Creek. The Morehead State baseball team is opening up a 3-game OVC weekend series in Nashville at 5 p.m. against Belmont. MSU goes in at 3-0 in conference after last weekend's home sweep of Southeast Missouri. But Coach Mike McGuire says the Eagles will have a big challenge with the Bruins.
They've returned most of last year's club. They've been stuck